throne of grace. Amen. Lord, we thank you for Sean this morning. We thank you that your hand is upon him. We thank you, Lord, for the word that he's got to share. We thank you that he doesn't do it in his own strength, but he does it by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to fill him, even as he preaches this word, that you'll speak, show him where to go, how to preach it, and what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Let's go unpack all my stuff here. Silence is golden. See the condition of my Bible. So I'm not fishing for you to buy me a new Bible. I'm just... Yeah, it's well used. That's why it looks this way. It's been used quite a bit. I also read my Bible on my cell phone. You've got to see what my cell phone looks like. Okay, great. Just before I start, I'm so glad to have Desiree with us this morning. She, as a family, just shared just a little bit of what she's going through, but they didn't touch on the pain and the sleepless nights and all the other things that she's struggling with. And even to see her this morning standing up and worshiping with having her sons holding her up, so that she can be here. Yesterday when I visited her, she said she's missing fellowship. She's missing being here with us and glorifying God. So I'm really just, my heart is warm. It's full of joy and encouragement to see how she loves God. And to the extent that through the pain and suffering, she will still come and join us. And that's amazing. So well done, Desiree. Glad to see you here. All right. Okay, so we've been talking on hospitality. And this week we're going to be doing the same thing. And last week what we did was we spoke about what hospitality is. And this week we're going to be speaking about why we are hospitable. And I've got 4 points that I'm going to share with you. So if you're taking notes, then listen out or look out for those 4 points, because I may not necessarily mention them. Like, this is it, number two, number three. But just as you follow, you'll see that there's 4 points that as to why we do hospitality or why we are hospitable. Last week we did the what is hospitality, and Rian did a good preach last week, and he shared with us, and he said that it's something that we do for Jesus. He said it's a practical action. It's done for the least of these, and it's of eternal significance. And he used that scripture in Matthew 25, chapter 25. I'll just copy down verse 38 to 39, but there was that whole section that he covered. And it was a story where Jesus was speaking, and he was again sharing with the people around him, and again in parables. And he used a natural example to try and explain a spiritual dynamic in the kingdom. And he often did that. He often would say, the kingdom of God is like this. And then he'd explain to you something about farming or something about some natural thing that we all understood. And then he would compare it to what the kingdom is like. In this story, it was very similar, because he had said, in this one, he said that there was a king. And he said the king had said to some people, and the story was about the sheep and the goats. And he said to the sheep on my right and the goats on my left, and he said to the sheep on the right, he said, well done, and he called them righteous. And he said to you on the right here, well done, because when I was sick, you visited me. You cared for me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I didn't have clothes, you fed me. When I was hungry, you know what I mean. We got it right. And people replied, they said, and when you were a stranger, you invited me in. And then the people said, well, when did we see you as a stranger? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? We don't remember this. And God said, for what you did for the least of these, you did for me. And it was quite an impacting preach and message that we got. to the point that at the end of that meeting, the people among us had given their lives to the Lord. And it was this generosity of God, this movement of the Spirit in our hearts last week that did that incredible thing. From a simple preach about us living a certain way, people's lives were changed last week. And I'm trusting that today the same thing's going to happen, that as we just explore a little bit longer, a little bit further into what hospitality is, why we do it, that again today God is going to do something in our hearts. You guys all keen on that? Yeah, wonderful. So let's just pray. So God, we're all sitting here together, all 200, 300 of us. I don't know how many is in this hall. And we love you, God, and we love to hear from you, and we love to know what's in your heart. And as your children, we long to please you, Daddy. We long to make you happy. We long to see you smiling and saying, well done, my children. And so this morning, just work in our hearts as we learn more about you, that when we leave here today, God, that we are different, that we are again more in love with our father, more in love with our dad, and that you are so pleased with us, God. Just bless this time, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. All right. So that's what was preached last week. And just to expand a little bit on what hospitality is, the following words we get from the same root word for hospitality, and that is hospital. And hotel. And hostel. And hospice. And host. They all come from the same original word, the Latin word. And what it means is that hospitality, or being hospitable, is where a host accepts or receives a guest in goodwill. So it's this action where you receive somebody, if you're the host, and it's with a goodwill. It's there's goodness in your heart towards the person when you receive them. So in a hospital, if you go to a hospital, you're being cared for. Somebody stands in, they receive you. There's an entire industry named after this thing, which is the hospitality industry. And that would be hotels, bed and breakfasts, Airbnb, that whole host of, okay, let's not use that word, that whole group of people. There's an industry like it called that because that's what they do. If you go to a hotel, they give you a bed. They say, yeah, you can sleep here. You're going to pay for it. That's the only difference between that and what we do. But you can, they invite you in. You can have a place to sleep. They give you something to drink. And they say, Mr. Adrian Hansen, please come this way. Here's your room. You go out. Room service comes. They clean up the place. And you feel good. And that's the hospitality industry. And so all of this comes from that one word back there. And the story about what you did for the least of these, you did for me, is a story of hospitality. It's a story of us hosting others, and not just in terms of taking somebody into your house, because God gave us that examples of sick people, people who are in prison, strangers, needing clothes, all that sort of stuff. So it's an action that we do. Then we looked in the dictionary, and the dictionary said that these are synonyms for that word. In other words, these words mean the same as hospitality or being hospitable, and that is words like friendly, words like neighborly, warm-hearted, kind, generous, open-handed. So when you are hospitable, that is the things that you are portraying. Those are the things that you are living out in your life. Now, the interesting fact is that the Bible says that for an elder, there's certain criteria he has to meet in order to be an elder. And it says he must be able to teach. He must be a man of one wife. He must be a couple of other things, just a few things. And one of the things, though, is that he must be hospitable. He's got to be generous, he's got to be kind, he's got to be open-handed. So of all the things that God could have said, listen, I want you to do, you must be able to prophesy, you must be able to heal the sick, you must be able to do all these things. He didn't say that. He said what you need to be is generous. You need to be hospitable. You need to have an open home. You need to love the people around you. And that is, to God, far more important than any of those other things. So that is what hospitality is. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that prophetic word as well, because that is so awesome to get a glimpse of God's heart, even as we're going to be preaching about it, just as jewels that get added into our crowns that we'll receive when we get to heaven. Okay, then for today, why are we hospitable? And here's your first hint that this is point number one. Is that I'm going to say it's point number one. All right, so if you can go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7 to 16. And this is the first reason why we are hospitable, why we are generous, kind, and friendly. So let's read through the whole one. It's not long. 17 from verse 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah the prophet. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, oh, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she says to him, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and then die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah said. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Awesome story. Eh? Fantastic story. Just to give you a bit of a background, this was in this chapters in Kings, it was a story all about Elijah and his travels, and how God had looked after Elijah in different ways. And then it came to this story where God said to Elijah, because it was a drought, there was a famine, there wasn't even water. Around there was no rain on the land for so long, there wasn't even water. So there was nothing to drink. And when there's no water, there's nothing really to eat because the animals don't survive, the plants don't grow. And there was extreme famine. And at one point, God says to Elijah, I want you to go to that woman because I have commanded her to give you food. I've directed her, I've instructed her to give you food. He comes to the woman, he finds her, she's a widow. What does that mean? She doesn't have a husband. But she has a son. And she has a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And that's all that stands between her and starvation. And this man comes and after God had sent him to him. And he says, give me some water. Now that would have been a bit of water. Today we go to the fountain. We go to the toilets, the bathrooms, wherever we get some water. When there's a famine, there is nothing. And she says, he asks her, go fetch the water. She says, yes, I'll go and get it. And off she goes. Then he pushes it further in a famine and he says to her, and please bring me some bread as well. And this for me was mind-blowing when I read the story, because this lady knew that, and I'm guessing she must have been like really thin. Her bones must have been showing. She and her son must have been in a bad way because it was a famine. And because the Bible says God had directed her, because he had spoken to her somehow, he doesn't tell us how, to feed Elijah. When Elijah came and spoke to her and asked her for this, she said, yes, I'm going to do it. But I don't believe it wasn't a quick and easy decision. You know, if you have a son or you have a daughter and they're hungry, you're going to think twice about giving food to somebody else instead of your son or your daughter. And especially when you know this is going to be your absolute last, that when you give this away, there is nothing more. But still, she chose to share the flour with the flour and the oil with Elijah by making him bread. So I was challenged by the story in my own life, because this lady had such a relationship with God. She was so devoted to God that when God would tell her to do something like this, like give away of a very last, which really would cost her life, she was prepared to do it. And when we're talking about hospitality, about generosity, about giving, taking in people, receiving people well, I think this lady is the epitome of what a hospitable person looks like. incredible, incredible story. I'm really blown away by it. And the story goes on to say that God then spoke to Elijah and said, say this to this lady and say to her, don't worry, don't be concerned or afraid about what's going to come, because that flour in that container is never going to dry up. And that oil in that jar will never dry up. Would like to have a jar and a container like that? Hey? Yeah. Never having to go to pick and never having to go to a shop again. Right? I did that last time as well with the internet service provider. Sorry, Eva, which we won't mention. It starts with a T. So, the same with this. This jar would not dry up. And a miracle was performed right there. God came through and blessed her, Elijah, and her son because she was hospitable. And that is such an amazing picture of what hospitality is. So I looked at my own life and I thought to myself, I love God. I think I love God. I'm pretty sure I've got a good relationship with him. I wonder what would happen if God had to come to me and say to me, Sean, I want you to do something for me. And I want you to sell your car, give the money away, and just find another way of getting around. Would I be able to do that? I'm definitely not putting this on you. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute you must be selling cars. That is a conviction between you and God. We used to speak to you about it. But this lady was prepared to give a loss until the point that it cost her life. And I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking, am I really there? Is this really something that I'm prepared to do? And it is something that God wants, though. God says, I want your generosity. I want you to be hospitable. I want you to be kind and friendly and do all those sort of stuff. So I was challenged by it, and I've been thinking a lot about it, hoping sort of that I wouldn't be tested in this area, because it can be quite a tough thing to be tested in. But I want to make sure that my heart is in the right place. I want to be sure that I am hospitable the way that God wants me to be hospitable. But we do see from the story that because she was hospitable, God came and blessed her. Because she was prepared to take that leap of faith and trust God in this, I will do what God says because he's Lord over my life. I will give my last to him, for him, because he asked me to do. And that's the message. That is the question that I want to bring to us today that I've been asking myself. And it's that thing, will I give of my last for God? So it's not one of those times where you respond because it's not what is required. But I think in our hearts, we need to consider this. We need to find out and say, is God really the Lord of my life? Do I believe that he has called me to be hospitable, to be friendly, generous, and to give up till my very last for him? And to do it because he is Lord of my life. The story goes on a little bit further, and some years later, her son gets sick, the same widow, and she calls Elijah, and it's a long story you read through, but she calls Elijah, and Elijah comes, and he prays for the boy, and he does a whole process where he lays upon him, and the boy comes back to life. And not only did she get food that never ended for that entire drought, her son, when he got sick, got restored. And there was this blessing upon blessing upon blessing that God had poured out upon this widow because she was prepared to give up all of herself for him. So I was really, really encouraged by that. So that is point number one, that the reason why we do these, why we do this is because, first of all, God wants us to do it, and because he's Lord of our lives. Awesome. Okay. Can we put up that scripture, Luke chapter 24, verse 28, please? Okay, so Luke 24, 28 says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. So this story is the story of the road to Emmaus. There were two disciples walking on the road just after Jesus' death and resurrection. And they were distressed because he had died. They had put their hope in him and suddenly he was not there any longer. He had died and they were so sure that Jesus was going to be the king that was coming to rescue them and that was going to lead them off in triumphal triumph, in victory. And nonetheless, they were very sad. They were walking on the road and a man joins them along the road. I'm just going to take my jacket off. I think it's about 2 degrees, 3 degrees hotter than earlier. So this man joins him as they're walking and he starts to speak to them and he starts to tell them the scriptures and explain to them how the Son of God was supposed to die, be raised again. And he's speaking faith into them all the time. And they get to this place where they were going to and he makes as though he's going on further than this town. And they were going to stop at this town. And they said, no, please don't go further. It's getting dark. Come and spend time with me. And they invite this man in. And as it turns out, as they were having dinner, he reveals himself to them, which means that God had hidden him from them. They didn't recognize him. But when he went, when they had dinner with him, God revealed Jesus to them and they could see that this was Jesus. So because they had invited Jesus in, they invited a stranger in, it turned out that they had hosted Jesus in the process. So what I got out of the story, what I understood by this as well is that there's a step that we've got to take. There's something that we've got to do when it comes to hospitality. We've got to be the ones who's going to take that step and go forward and invite somebody in. They're not just going to come in on their own. We've got to put ourselves out there, look for people that we can invite in, look for people that we can care for the sick, for those who need clothes and who need food. But it's an invitation that we have to extend out. Then we see in Genesis chapter 18, verse 3, and this story is about Abram, and Abram was sitting in front of his tent under a tree, like any good camper would be doing. And Abram sees three men coming up the road to them, and he runs out to them, and he says to them in Genesis 18, verse 3, he says, if I find favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by, but come and stay with me. So these strangers that came past, Abram didn't hesitate. He went forward, called them, said, please come stay with me. Let me make some food for you. He slaughters a calf, he bakes some bread for them, and they have a meal together. And later on, they discover these three men were actually angels. And through the process, Abram gets told what his future holds. God tells him, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that for you. I'm also going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram was able to intercede for that city. Because he had been hospitable, he hosted angels. And because those two men on the road from Emmaus were hospitable, they hosted Jesus himself. So there's something in that God wants to teach us, that when we are prepared to take in strangers, you never know who it is that you are going to invite into your house. So when we have opportunities, not just in terms of 412 hosting or that sort of stuff, but whenever we have an opportunity to help somebody, to take somebody in, you never know who that person is going to be. You may very well be taking in a little child or somebody that one day will go on to be an apostle or a president of a country. Who knows? Even in our congregation, I've seen that thing happen. I've seen how hospitable some of us have been, where we've taken in orphans, children who otherwise would have a difficult future. They've taken them in, and who knows what those children are going to be one day. So just by taking strangers, we don't know who it is that we may very well be hosting. Then Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And this is a story of people who came to Jesus and said to Jesus. And so this is point three, if you're making the notes. And he comes to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Lord, in your name, we cast out demons. In your name, we heal the sick. We raise the dead. And we prophesied. And Jesus said to them, not everyone in verse 21, Matthew 71, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we see here that there's consequences to us choosing to obey God. And it's clearly God's heart for us that we are hospitable, that we are generous, that we do love people, and that if we don't do it, that there are consequences to it. So that would be the third reason why we are hospitable and why we are generous with everything that we have and everything that we are. Then point four, Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. So there's rewards for helping people. When we are generous, when we help the sick, feed the needy, clothe those who need clothes, that there is rewards from God, that he will not forget your work and the love that you have shown and helped by helping his people. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So if you're sowing generosity, you're sowing love, you're sowing helping and caring for people, you're going to reap that in your own life. You're going to receive that back. And this morning we were talking about giving and receiving, and Yuri kept feeling like that was something that was on God's heart. And that's exactly the case, is that when you give, you will receive. And then lastly, in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, it says, use your worldly wealth to make friends for yourself. You will make friends through being generous. And it is an instruction for us on how to handle our finances, how to handle every part of our lives, is that use your very money that you have, even that, to buy friends with your money. It's not there for any other purpose. Not for any other purpose, but this is one purpose that you, that God does want to use your money for, and that is to bless people and to make friends for yourself. And in the times that we've hosted, or we've gone on outreaches overseas, and we've gone to Isle of Man conference and so forth, we've made some incredible friends over the years. People we still stay in contact with, and who send us messages, and we send them messages, and hopefully when we get to go overseas again, we'll visit them. And in turn, when they've come to us, they've visited us and spent time with us. So there is this reward also of making friends that we have. So I want to just, those are the four points that as to why we must be generous. But I want to just bring us back to this first point, the one of lordship. And when I do this, I just want to ask who was playing? Was it you? Thanks, Leon. Just to come and play for us. The first point was because of the lordship of Jesus, that is the reason, one of the reasons why we are hospitable. And if you remember, we spoke about the lady, the widow, because God had asked her to give her last, that she gave of her last, that she was prepared to even, by giving, let it affect her very health, her very life. And if I think about Jesus and I think about what he's done for us, his hospitality that he showed us, where he didn't hold back anything, where he didn't feel that his life was something that he could hold on to and not give it up, but he was prepared to give it up for us. He was prepared to say, this life that I have, I will give up, as the lady did in the story of the widow, that Jesus was prepared to give up that life as well. And when we consider that, and we consider the salvation that we received, if we consider the fact that we are all here today and we all have a new inheritance, a new destiny that we're going on because of that amazing generosity of Jesus. It's something that I feel compelled in my heart to do. Not compelled because I have to, but compelled out of love to have to do. That I want to do that for God. I want to say, God, your word says that you love generosity. You love it when your people are hospitable. I want to be hospitable. Because you loved me so much that you gave up your own life, I want to give up my life for you. And when you say, Sean, how you want, I want you to do it, is I want you to look around you, and in the simple things, to the least of these, I want you to be active. When you see somebody is sick, go and visit them. Take them something to eat. See to their needs. When you see somebody is hungry, that you take them some food. So I don't want you to go and turn the world upside down necessarily, but in the small things, in these little things, you're going to show compassion, you're going to show generosity like I poured out on you. So this morning, after a simple message with small, four little points, I'm trusting that even in this, that God has spoken to each of us in our hearts this morning. That we've come to realize that being a Christian is this very lifestyle of being generous, of being hospitable. And so I want to ask you just to close your eyes with me now. And if God has spoken to you, if you feel in your heart that you feel like I can do better in this, God, even in these little things I can do better than what I've done now, just where you are, where you're sitting, just make that commitment to God. And just say to him, you know, God, I hear you. I see what you want from us, God, and I want to do that. It's often this childlike praise that God honors, that he moves his heart. Just the simple things of being a Christian, just that loving your brother, loving your neighbor. So, God, I want to commit myself to you again in this area of generosity, in the area of hospitality, God. And I want to say to you, God, that where I've fallen short, I'm going to try and do better in that way. That as I've come to know more about you and about your word and how much you like for us to do this, to help those around us, help the sick, the poor, the needy, God, that I will do that very thing because it's something that blesses you, God. And like the widow, I want to be spoken of as somebody who was full of generosity. And also when we interact with people around us, God, they should see that there's something different to us. And that is what they will see. They will see this generosity in us, God. So help us change our hearts in this area, God. And then this morning, if you're here with us and you've never experienced the generosity of God's love in your own life, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we've been separated from God because of our sin, but because of Jesus' generosity, he took our sin and our punishment upon himself, and he died in our place where we should have died. And when we believe that he is the Son of God, and we repent of our sins, that we become a child of God, that we go into a relationship with God. So that incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us is available to you this morning. So if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus because you've never heard of this wonderful generosity that Jesus has for you, today is your opportunity to do that. So if you're feeling you've been called, if you're feeling God is stirring your heart to accept his generosity, why don't you just indicate that while every eye is closed, just indicate it by raising your hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anybody else? That is fantastic. That is awesome. So God, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you that even in the simpleness of sharing a simple word, that there is power, God. I want to thank you, God, that you shed your love in our hearts this morning through this simple message. And I thank you, God, that even this morning you've stretched out and you've touched somebody's heart again, that somebody again has been rescued from darkness, God. Somebody has been given a new destiny, a new future, God. We praise you, God. We thank you, God.
Really, just we're closing off now, but I think what Sean has shared today, it's like, hey, why hospitality, you know, twice in a row. But as he was preaching, I really felt the Lord remind us extravagant hospitality. And I was reminded of that story where there was this Pharisee who invited Jesus into his home. And he was doing an hospitable thing. And then this widow comes and she breaks the ointment and she don't stop kissing his feet. And then he challenges the Pharisee and he says this. He says, you know, you invited me into your home. But you know, since this lady came into this place, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. And all that you have been doing is just almost in one sense boasting, hey, I've got the presence of Jesus over here. And I think the word that Sean is bringing is, how extravagant are we in being hospitable? When we host somebody from our church, is it like I'm doing my Christian duty because I've invited another believer into my home? Or when they're in our home, do we become extravagant? Do we go, God, please give me a word of encouragement for this couple that we're meeting with? God, I want to take out my finest dishes and prepare the finest meal, because Lord, hosting them is like hosting you. Or has it become like a norm to us? Hey man, come around. I think the word that we got this morning is about being extravagant. It's looking at somebody and going, God, this might be the last time I ever have fellowship with this person. And I want to give my best, even if my best is my last. And somehow God goes, my heart is moved by the way you host others.